So we are going to have more interventions of, you know, the ministry of angels as a ministry, right? As a ministry. As a ministry. So you're going to see interventions in natural things, places where you're stranded or you need something done, and God is going to be there because you are there. Right? So God's going to be coming through for you very beautifully in the year. I sense that this year is going to bring some stability in our lives. And men are going to have their hearts grounded for a cause. There'll be no uncertainty in the year we are in. Yes. And there's going to be more stability in what God is going to be doing. Suse, preste, zizista, tole bratiste. Jesus te ki pampustea, stula prakate. Sola mambrastiste. Suse vegenita. Prosto tele Christa vivatando, losto prekitiste. Now you ensure that your convictions are firm. Ensure your convictions are firm. Ensure your convictions are firm. Yeah, yeah. Ensure your convictions are firm. Now when you see others leave, don't leave. You ensure your convictions are firm. Ensure your convictions are firm. When you see others ditch out the ministry for other things, you ensure you are firm. So there's going to be stability in the year as you take heed to be with the Lord, to walk with Him, and to do what He's called you to do. For year, for a couple, this is going to be a year of discoveries. Suze, Fife, Stanto, Bratise. Yeah? You're going to discover things that you never thought you could do, and things that you never thought you could amount to. You're going to suddenly discover those things. They're almost like treasures that are hidden. But as you serve the Lord in all faithfulness, you are going to discover. There are going to be discoveries of gifts, discoveries of abilities, discoveries of strength in supposed weaknesses. It's a glorious year of the tremendous grace of God. Yes, your natural needs are also going to be met. Jus, peistene, stisto lamba, stopre kiste, zule pratis, vulastiki pampano stoko musto fetelige, brosto kepatala, zize ketenebe, stoparada, stepre listo, prototuste, ziste prada, Jonte lista prakidiste, voluntia secrete, stefenito, sola brande, jeve vivo cutoluste, mande, stegra pusta, platu, stevre ninto, sopra kista, bro, skeva tala mandi. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Even as touching also natural paths that your life should take, he says there's going to be more clarity in those paths. Natural paths that your life should take. there's going to be clarity in those parts. So those parts are going to get clearer. They will not be marked with confusion and ambiguity. But there's going to be clarity in your life. Things are coming together. And yes, in this year, you're going to make more meaning to the things that you do. There's going to be more understanding to what you have your hands on. And it's by that understanding that the work is going to grow. It's by that understanding that discipleships will multiply. It's by that understanding that there's going to be strength for further more years ahead. In this year, you will take heed of smaller meetings. Wow. I sense the anointing strongly. You will take heed of smaller meetings on this particularly. Do not despise smaller meetings like these. For in meetings like these, there will be reformations and there will be further strengthening of convictions. Take heed of smaller meetings with your disciples. 1, 2, 4. Just a small meeting. And God is going to be building more strength in those meetings. Yes, there's going to be a little here, a little there, a little here, a little there, a little here, a little there. Almost like a man that's more towards work. And as you do that, the more that you are trusting God for, and the more that together we're trusting God for as a church, will happen. We're seeing it in these times. And the grace of God is mighty upon us. 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 God's grace is mighty upon us. Yeah, this year there will be physical strength. Yes, physical strength to go alongside the natural things that you have to do with the spiritual things that you have to do. So there's going to be physical strength. Physical strength. It's like that attitude of being fatigued and tired is over. There's going to be physical strength. Physical strength to go about the things that you ought to go about. And the grace of God will, via our activity, cause men to troop in. The Lord will, via our activity, cause men to troop in. Yeah, I hear lots of songs as well. Many will have songs in the year. Songs for you, songs for the congregation, songs for situations that arise. There are going to be songs that are going to be sung on your lips. And these songs are going to abound in number. There are going to be more. We're going to have more songs. More songs. More share. Jesta pratiste kizo stola mangra tiste file pretedisto brondo stoko polo bratiste tilando sovrananta jeve vivo soprekista manto stola mangra tiste brosto fevekipa brosto kebeteste molam brakitaste bruste kieste tiste prado stola mambra steki stoto brosto kibatande jondon brabadaba stula mange Stapranede, stupratele, stabranande, zusta brando, prosto tele Christe, mola mangi stefrenida, pole Christe prevene, zusa vivenante diste pregadete, tele mengres disto provono, tora mamba, stabranande, stobranamba. There are a couple of people that sense a dryness. You know, that dryness is over. Those days of feeling dry, they're over. Those days of feeling dry are over. For God is, via His Spirit, causing a stir in many hearts. And there's going to be a strong freshness of everything that's around you. freshness of everything that's around you. So those days of feeling dry in the year, they're over. There are going to be showers of rain, showers of rain, showers of rain, showers of rain, showers of rain. In this year, there are going to be showers of rain. And so lives that seem very dormant are going to be poured out and then substituted with lives that are fresh and that are blooming and that are blossoming. They are blossoming. They are blossoming. They are blossoming. They are blossoming. And there's a freshness upon the things concerning ministry and in your life. Even things that are, you know, very natural, there's also going to be a grace to do those things. It's in the year. It's in the year. It's in the year. Ta, thank you, Jesus. 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 So you're going to receive grace to keep up, yes, also with the disciplines that will bring in and usher in great, tremendous spiritual growth. There's a grace that's going to be upon you to stick to those basic disciplines. 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 For these are the disciplines that will bring in the growth. They will usher in the growth. And so in this year, you're going to stick to those disciplines. Those basic disciplines. Yeah. In Jesus' name, glory to God. Did you hear something? So, we are going to look at something very shortly. And the Spirit of God, you know, just actually laid this on my heart to share with you as we begin the year. And he said, teach them on this. So we're going to be looking at something that I think I call neglect not the help of God. Neglect not the help of God. Neglect not the help of God. You know, we often find believers helpless. And it seems like they are in some kind of trouble. And they almost feel like we don't have anyone. And we don't have anything. And we can't do anything. But whenever the believer feels this way, it's because he chooses to neglect God's help given him. So, just as the year starts, I thought to remind us of the precious promise of God's help given us as believers. And, you know, helplessness can manifest itself in various forms or in various ways. Sometimes they could be very emotional. Other times they could be physical. And even sometimes behavioral. But in this year, we are not without God's help. Are you listening? We're not without God's help. So you see that sometimes you meet a believer and the believer is helpless. It's like they don't know what to do. They're confused. I told you that helplessness also will manifest in some signs, right? So it means that you could see somebody who is a believer and then the person is sad. So, the person has some persistent signs of being down always. It's like you're always down. It's a sign of being helpless. You could also see sometimes that believers tend to be hopeless. It's like they are without hope. Hope normally is futuristic, right? So it means that when they look far into the future, they don't really see anything in the future for them. It's like, what are you doing? I don't really know. What does next year have for you? I don't really know. What does the year have for you? I don't know. And then you hear, many times they make statements like, I mean, whatever will happen should just happen. So you can sense a certain kind of a hopelessness in many people's lives because they choose to neglect God's help giving them. You know, another, you know, sign of being helpless is a sense of being stuck. It's like you get to a point and you feel, I'm stuck. I don't know what to do. I was speaking to someone some time back, and the person used the exact phrase, I feel I'm stuck. It means that the person cannot move forward, neither can she move backwards. She can't make a decision, or he can't make a decision. And then the person is stuck to a place. This year, you will not be stuck.
Amen.
You will not be stuck.
Amen.
You will not be stuck. You will not be stuck. You will not be stuck. So you meet people and it's like, we don't know what to do. We don't know whether to move forward. We can't tell. Or to move backwards. It's like, I feel I'm stuck. Now another sign of being helpless will be also to be in fear. So it's like, I'm afraid. Maybe sometimes because of the challenges that lie ahead. Let me tell you something. This year, as I teach you this, I'm very intentional about it. Right? And I believe God's Spirit is intentional about it as well. So, this year, you're not going to neglect God's help. Right? So you see that somebody is afraid. The person is afraid. The person doesn't know what to do. The person is confused. The person is anticipating that something will happen. Something that they never planned for. The person is anticipating. So they wake up every day and their lives are in fear. They're afraid of what is going to happen. Today there are different types of fear. Fear of spiders, fear of heights, fear of water. And they call that a phobia, isn't it? So we have what? Fear of water, aquaphobia.
Yes.
Right? What are some other fears? Fear of spiders. Sorry?
Tight spaces.
Okay, some people fear tight spaces. Heights. Yeah? We're afraid of heights.
Holes.
Yes.
Crowds.
Yeah. Any fear of tomorrow?
Wow.
Yes. I mean, many people are caught up in these fears. Fear of ants. Yes. Fear of moving, for frogs. Fear of everything. Snakes. Fear of darkness. I'm sure some people, when you just put on the light, they start to, hey, no. Fear of darkness. So you see, it's because we are expecting something to happen. Because we choose to neglect the help that God has given us. This year you will not be afraid. I remember I used to fear darkness, like maybe, but now I think I love darkness. Those times I used to fear darkness. When you put up the light, Onupa, I can't survive it. I have to put on the lights. So this year, we're not going to be afraid of anything. We're going to face everything very squarely. Because we will not neglect God's help. Right? Yeah. So a sense of helplessness will also be, you know, sometimes there could be this guilt or shame. There's something probably that happened that we don't like to talk about. And so it makes us feel very less of ourselves. But you see, all of these things happen because we choose to neglect God's help. But I came to tell you, if you would listen to what I'm telling you, and then you add it also to whatever it is I've said, in your considerings for the year, I believe we're going to have a very splendid, glorious year. Right?
Yes,
so we're going to have a very glorious year. But I'm going to teach you why it's important to not neglect. So we're looking at not neglecting the help of God. So it's very interesting things that depict selflessness. And then you see that sometimes they're fatigued. There are people who are also fatigued, isn't it? And then they slip off into gluttony. They just eat so much. Right? Or they sleep too much. Then you find them complain. Most of the times you say, I've prayed, I've studied, I've done it, but it's still not working. No, it's because you choose to neglect God's help giving you. Some go to bed, they can't sleep. Because again, they choose to neglect God's help giving them. Some look around their families, and they say that things are not really going on well. And it starts to worry them. But not you this year. Right? Yes. So the believer should never be caught in any of these situations. It's like a sense of being trapped. Like just a sense of being trapped. I'm trapped. I don't know what to do. Pastor, I'm trapped. I don't know what to do. I'm trapped. I've tried this thing again and again and again, and I feel trapped. No. You shouldn't find yourself in any space of this sort. Are you listening? Don't find yourself in any space. Coming with murmuring and complaining. And we are complaining. We're complaining. We're complaining. I've always said this, but one of the things God has helped me with, I don't know how to complain. It's at least to Him. Yeah. You never find me saying, God, why me? I don't know. I think I have, but I don't think I remember. I don't know how to do it. Like, I know how to keep quiet and not complain. I don't remember the last time I complained. Maybe I have, but I don't think I do. But you see, there are some people who murmur. Like, they are murmuring. Their hearts are murmuring. God, why are you allowing? Why am I the only one? I'm suffering. I'm struggling. It's too much. It shouldn't be me. Why am I struggling? Why do you ask God these questions? God, where are you? God, what are you? What are you doing about it? It's like they feel stuck. God, see. If see. God, can't you see? And then they murmur, and they murmur, and then they complain. Just simply because they choose to neglect God's help. And you know, by the time I finish telling you what the help of God is, you're going to say, Pastor, is it just that? It's just that. But because you won't do it, or you do it.
I'll do it.
Yes.
I'll do it.
But because, maybe let me not say you, because people will not do it, then they tend to struggle. So I feel pity for people. I feel pity for them. Because you see, once you're into a situation, God already told you what to do. He's not about to tell you a specific instruction that you should do. Well, there are times where you are the leader of the Spirit, but there's all of that in His Word. So rather than just, you know, make noise and cry, you know, sober, why don't you just take the Word of God and do it? It's like somebody who has a lot of food served in front of him or her. And then the person continually says, I'm really, really hungry. Hunger be what? Hey. I'm the hungriest person in the whole world. Why don't you just eat the food? And if you're hungry again, you continue eating. So, the reasons why people struggle is because they neglect God's help to them. And you know something? Something interesting made me realize the character of God. I was like, so God actually was existent with Adam and Eve in the garden. I said yes. Then, He gives Adam and Eve a decision to choose between good and bad. Now, they choose to go their own way. And He's still silent watching them. Now, do you know what that effect was to humanity? If Adam ate that fruit, do you know what it meant to humanity? Or Adam choosing that way, do you know what it meant to humanity? It meant that everybody that came after him was entrenched in that decision. God was still very silent. And it took him thousands of years to go around that same order of restoring man's lost place back to himself. Several had died. Several had been sick. And yet still, he never moved at it. You know, thinking about these things and meditating on these things, it makes me know who God is. I'm not too different. Do you understand? I'm not too different. You see, why did God sit down and allow this happen? No, what He did, He asked you to do that you should have done, that wouldn't have allowed that happen. This is something that will cost the entirety of His creation. He didn't move. And And I just have to advise myself, you need to really respect this God. And you need to know the kind of God that you serve. So it means we all gain that solace when we choose His way. If we don't choose His way, there's no other way. And He's not going to feel pity for you. There's no other way. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like maybe because you say, okay, no, I'm not choosing God's way, but let Him have pity on me. No, His word is His way. He wants you to do His word and He wants you to act on His word. That's what He wants you to do. There's several thousands of people who jump in into hell, and he's still the same God. So it's better if we go it His way and not choose our own way. If He's provided a means to which we can receive whatever He says He wants us to receive, we just must, in obedience, use that way. And I pray for the sick, and I get to see how some people are healed and some others are not healed. And even when it comes to the miraculous and seeing miracles and healing, there is a way. The moment you don't do the way, it starts to sort of like not really work, or it does not really respond. There's a way. Even Jesus Himself practiced that way. So it's like, to be on the safer side, we must pick God's word, believe what is written in His word, act on His word, and live by His word. That's the only way we can be saved. So you meet people and they say, I've been in church for over 30 years and I've been really sick. And I feel sorry. Because you know why? They say they are waiting for their healing. And His healing has already been given. So you see, and he's actually very comfortable. You know, you can actually wait till you die. Do you see that? Like, you can actually wait till you die. And He actually welcomes you home. I remember reading a story, Ken Hagen, and there was this woman who had been in church for over 4 decades or 3 decades or so. And she had been waiting all that while to get filled in the Holy Ghost. Yes. For a very long time she had been in church. And she had been waiting for the time that God will get her filled. So it was when she met Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin said, you're not waiting for anything, you know. In fact, if there's anybody waiting, He's the one waiting for you to respond to whatever He has said, He has given to you. So Kenneth Hagin shows her scriptures on how that she can get filled in the Holy Ghost now, not anticipatory. And that was how she spoke in tongues. And she had been waiting for four decades. So, what are you neglecting that's supposed to be God's help to you? The moment you neglect it, I'm sorry to say, there is no other provision of help for what He has already given. It's just like maybe somebody saying that, you know, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. This would have been always preaching to me, Jesus. The same old Jesus, 2,000 years ago, is this Jesus they've been preaching to me. If Jesus really, really loves me, let Him come back again. Let Him come and die for me on the cross again. Let me see Him walk through the streets of the streets of Medina. Let's see Him carry the cross. Let's make another Golgotha. Let's carry Jesus to that Golgotha. Let Him be nailed to the cross. You know, God loves you, but no matter how much He loves you, we're never going to see that. And if you say you are never going to believe in what we preach to you, then you're going to go to hell. So you know what? You need to just take God by His word. And don't be somebody that always likes pity. It's like people always should pity me. I should always be pitied. Look at me. Poor thing. What does the word of God say? I've been suffering. Suffer. What does God say? So the earlier you rise up and you take God by his word and you face it very squarely, the better for all of us. Right? So in this year, you're not going to neglect God's help. I'm going to show you what it is. I'm going to show you. And I'm going to show you how to practically, you know, not neglect the help of God. Because many times we neglect God's help. So isolations, people are away, trying to figure it out on their own. You know, frequent crying. You wake up, you're just crying, just crying, just crying. Me, I don't like those things, though. You're just crying, 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 crying. Okay, maybe you have some tears. Just crying, 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 crying. Just cry. The moment you neglect his help giving you, so you're not going to neglect God's help this year.
Yeah.
No, not this year. So, reasons why we struggle, we go through all of these. You know, sometimes you say, my spiritual life is dry. It's dry. Pastor, when I go into prayer, I don't really feel. Well, it's because you're neglecting his help to you in the place of prayer. Why don't you take what he's giving you? Pastor, it's like when I read the Bible, I don't get the revelation any longer. Well, maybe you're neglecting the help that's given to you. But not again this year. So, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, I think I should speed up my teaching. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I was actually shortly meditating on this. I'm going to take it really fast. So Paul is telling Timothy, he says, do not neglect Paul is actually telling Timothy not to neglect the gift. Do you see that? Not to neglect the gift. The gift. The gift. The gift. Do not neglect the gift. Right? So you get to see that he's told him not to neglect the gifts. Then he tells him in verse 15, he says, meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them, then your progress may be evident to all. That means that if Timothy was going to neglect the gift, means he was not going to see the produces of what the gift should bring. Do you see that? If he was going to neglect it, his profiting would not appear to all. So yes, Timothy, you have been called as a minister. Yes, that is true. Yes, Timothy, you've been left in Ephesus. But if you neglect the gift, your profiting will not appear to all. He actually gives him some further instructions, like, you know, in verse 14, I mean, just above, was it above? Where he tells him, pay attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Yes, in verse 13. So he says, pay attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Then he tells him, do not neglect. You know how you neglect something? It's like when you say someone is careless, careless is like two words put together. It's like they care, but they care very less. Right? So they can just get in and just put their shoe here. I used to remove my shoes like that when I was in JHS. My shoes were easy shoes, so I just, it just rolls like that. So just, that's careless. But the next morning is when you start to try to find where you put the shoe again. It's like you don't care. You don't treat it as very important. So there's a way the believer can neglect God's help. He can. And when he does, there remains no help for him. So he's going to wander around. He's going to beat around. He's going to lay in his bed and wonder why God has forsaken him. Because he neglected God's means of help to him. So when you're careless, you care, but you care very less. Or almost like whatever it is you're doing, you sort of like lack appropriate attention for it. So there's God's help made available to us. Only if we will not neglect Only if we're not neglect. This year you're not neglecting God's help.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
I want you to see something about neglect in Joshua 18, verse 3. It uses another word, slack, actually. So, in Joshua 18, verse 3, okay, I'll read verse 1 to verse 3 quickly. Now, the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of meeting there, and the land was subdued before them. But there remained among the children of Israel 7 tribes which had not received their inheritance. So, there were inheritances to be taken over by the various tribes. And there remained 7 of them, and they could not receive those inheritances. Right? Then in verse 3, then Joshua said to the children of Israel, how long will you neglect to go and possess? Who has a word like slack? Right? Read your version. So, you're slack. You're neglecting. How long are you going to be neglecting the promise of God in the land he has told you that is yours already? How long? How long? Are you going to keep, being like, I'm the only person, I'm the one that's here, look at me, God see me, I'm the only person here. I've suffered. This is what I've really suffered. If you count the number of people that have suffered in the whole world, I'm number 2. Somebody says that the whole world, then I'm a brepa, number 2. Or brefo. Like the whole world, when you count the number of people who have suffered, the person, or no, toss to 2. So there's, I don't know who the one will be, but the one must be really someone who has really suffered. But how long are you going to keep neglecting? How long are you going to get slack on receiving the help of God? Right? So, the times where we neglect, we do not treat as though it were present. We overlook. We care, but we care less, so less. It's like we don't really know. This year, you're going to be very conscious of the help of God for you in all things. Are you listening? In all things. I believe this strongly. I'm help of God. I'm help of God. Yes. In everything. Those are going to be your strong beliefs. So I present to you the help of God. I'm going to talk about it very shortly. The Holy Ghost. Right? The Holy Ghost is the help of God to you and for you. The Holy Ghost. Or the Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost is actually like KJV, old Christian language. The Holy Ghost. Or the Holy Spirit. It's all of God's help for you. So He is with us today. And He's working in us, through us, for us, against them that are against us. He works all of these things together. So, the times where we actually feel like, you know, remember the signs of helplessness I spoke to you about? The fear or anxiety. Right? What are some of them? You feel like you're being stuck. You're overwhelmed. You're sad. You're fatigued. You're full of guilt, shame. Right? Worry. Fear of the unknown. Fear of many things around. All of these things, there's an answer. God gave you an answer. And He gave you the Holy Ghost. I said He gave you the Holy Ghost.
He gave you the Holy Ghost.
So He said, I feel dry. No. You can't feel dry when you have the Holy Ghost. No, you can't. No, you can't. No, you can't. So, in this year, we're going to learn to not neglect God's help to us, which is the gift of the Holy Ghost. Speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. You're not going to neglect. Act as though He is not there. You're not going to act as though He is not present. And this year, you're going to be conscious of His ever-abiding presence, the Holy Ghost. Conscious of His ever-abiding presence. In the ministry, you're not without help. In the discipleships, you said you want to multiply. You're not without help. Because He's going to be present with you. Listen. Take your seats. Let me tell you something. I'm going to show you a few things that will bless you. Right? So, Christians who have learned to build a very strong relationship with the Holy Spirit are Christians who know Jesus best or who have a revelation of Him. C- Christians who have developed, maybe let's say, a steady communing life with the Holy Ghost, are Christians who know Jesus best. So the Holy Spirit is God's help to us. And he's interested in helping us in every aspect of our lives. You know, sometimes people take that to the extreme. I've had somebody come to ask me, does the Holy Spirit teach you what dress to wear? And I said, well, that's quite to an extreme. Right? God gave you a brain, and he wants you to use your brain to dress, and he wants you to use your brain to look good, and he wants you to use your brain to prepare for whatever it is that is very natural. That's why he gives you a brain. But I told the person, where your dress has an influence on a certain aspect of your life or a happening during the day, then the Holy Spirit can do that. So maybe let's say you're going to wear a red shirt, and maybe you would bump off into some cattle. And you know, sometimes cattle are sometimes color sensitive. Did you know that? Yes. And then they see you and they start to chase you. And they give you head up. And then you come home like this. Right? Yeah. That day when you are standing before the mirror, about to wear the red shirt, you could tell, you know, not a red shirt today. Not a red shirt today. But just every day, red shirt. I mean, I'm sure sometimes you see someone in yellow hat, red shirt, green trouser, blue. What's that? Can't get to see the Holy Ghost. And then you let a fashion designer say, your Holy Ghost, he's not good with colors. Right? So God gives you a brain for very natural things. But where there's supposed to be an influence, very keenly, then he intervenes. Right? So, he's interested in helping you develop, grow, become all that God wants you to be. In fact, let me tell you something. Ministry is the Holy Ghost. Are you listening to me? Ministry is the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. Ministry is not Greek and Hebrew. It's not Bible interpretation. Even though he gives clarity to Bible interpretation. I said ministry is what? The Holy Ghost. Ministry is the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost. Ministry is the Holy Ghost. Say that to yourself.
Ministry
is the Holy Ghost.
Is the Holy Ghost.
Yes. You know, that brings me to a story of Yonggi Cho explains this so well in one of his experiences with his wife. And apparently when he started becoming a very young minister, like when he was a young minister, he would leave the house for a whole week, come back maybe a day or two, and he had a wife, and he leaves again for the whole week, and he comes back a day or two. And whenever he comes back to, his wife like tries to engage him in a conversation, and he's like, no. You have the child with you. I'm praying, I'm studying for Sunday, right? So he goes out, he comes back one day in a week, maybe 2 days in a week, and he's off again into the fields. And then his mother-in-law came home to visit and comes back again. And so in one of his field trips, he came back home, and His mother-in-law, you know, called him. And he said he was actually scared in the audio. The writing, but he has an audio also. So he was actually really scared because for your mother-in-law to call you, that's quite interesting. So the mother-in-law calls and says, Cho, he's young Cho, he's a pastor. He wants to, you know, have people born again and saved. And the mother-in-law gets to advise him that he had to pay attention also to his wife when he came home, so that she would not be very sad. So he has to revise his strategy, comes back home, gives his wife a day in the week. So she had an opportunity to choose any day of the week where they will go out and she will share all her stories with him, even though he never listened actively, but he said he just tried to flow also, right? So after the whole incident, he realized that, you know, his wife was not very much sad again, not moody, not disturbed, you know, not some way. And while he was in prayer, the Lord showed him that as a perfect example of neglecting what had been given to him, which was the Holy Ghost. So there are times where we just are not conscious that we have God's help with us. It's like he tries to tell us that, hey, this thing you are doing is not going to end well. But you say, no, I'm busy, I'm praying. But you're going to probably wear out. Or maybe you're going to tire. Tells you, do this. Say, you're trying to be papa than him. Eh? So there are times where we neglect, we do not really know, and we do not really agree that God has made provision to us, or he's made provisions for us. He's given us somebody who could help us and who is there to help us all the time. So this year, teaching, I'm going to show you. Sure, I told you, I made a very strong statement. Ministry is the Holy Ghost. But this year, we're going to be learning to be totally reliant on the Spirit of God. Are you listening? On the Spirit of God. It means that we're going to be more conscious. We're going to be more conscious of the ever-abiding presence of His Spirit. Glory to God.
Glory.
So we're going to be conscious of Him living on the inside of us, directing, leading, speaking, inspiring our hearts unto wisdom. So, let me say this before I lay emphasis on ministry is the Holy Ghost. In fact, everything that God will ever do for us, He does through the Holy Ghost. Do you understand? Everything. Somebody is saying, okay, how about the ministry of angels? That's also for another conversation. But I came to assure you that for your life and for Him dealing with you and for you getting to be led by Him and for you getting to have an ever joyous, blossoming life, it's in the Holy Ghost. Right? Is in the Holy Ghost. So this year, you will learn not to neglect the gift of the Holy Ghost. Are you listening? You learn not to neglect the gift of the Holy Ghost. Let's see something in John 14. I'm going to have a long read. John 14, we're going to read from verse 1 . Our emphasis is going to be on verse 18, but we're going to start reading from verse 1 and then we'll jump 14 verse 1. Let's not your heart be troubled. But believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. In fact, he was actually speaking to Peter a few verses up. When you read from verse 37, he had a conversation with Peter, and Peter is saying that, hey, I will not leave you. I will lay down my life for you. And he told Peter that, no, you will not. Yeah? You will not lay down your life for me. Then, 14 verse 1, because Peter is actually wanting to be with him. That's why he's actually trying to give him assurance that, no, I will be with you. And Jesus asked him, for how long? Forever. I will lay down my life for you. And Jesus says, no, you won't lay down your life for me. Right? So, Peter is giving an assurance by Jesus after he has a very strong decision saying that I will lay down my life for you. Then he says, let your heart not be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe in me also, or believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. So he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. In my Father's, that word house is actually household, right? In my Father's household, there is room for you. That's all he's saying. So there is room for you in my Father's family, right? Then he now says, I will go and I will go to prepare a place for you. Now, Thomas, actually, I believe when I read Thomas's questions, it helps me a lot of the time, even though a lot of people attack him as like doubting, or you don't believe. But all of those questions meant a lot to us, like John 3:16. Yes, if Nicodemus has not asked that question to Jesus, like, will I enter my mother's womb and be born again? Some of us might also think born again is like entering your mother's womb and being born again the second time. So those questions are necessary. Now look what happens in verse 5. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going and how we can know the way. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So the concept of what is happening here is Jesus telling them that I'm not going to be present with you. That's the whole picture. Then Peter is saying, no, I'll be with you. Wherever you go, I'll go. He says, no, you can't go with me. Where I'm going, you can't go. Let me go and come. I'll come and bring you unto myself. He says, no, I'll lay down my life with you. If you are going, I'll still go with you. Then Thomas is now asking, Lord, where are you going? We don't even know where you are going. Because if we knew where you are going, we could probably go ahead of you and go and wait for you there. So we don't know where you are going. Or can you at least take us with you where you are going? Then he says, no, you don't need to know whatever way. I am the way to wherever it is you're anticipating to go. Right? Right. So Philip is also initiating a conversation in verse 8. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. So Peter said something. You know, Thomas has asked something. Now Philip is also saying, where is the Father? Then he says, and it will be sufficient for us. Now listen to what Jesus says. Jesus said unto them, have I been with you so long, and yet have ye not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you still show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I do not speak them on my own authority. But the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe in me. I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe in me for the sake of the works themselves. Then he says, actually, verse 12, verse 13, and whatever ye ask in my name, and I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son, if ye ask anything in my name, I will do. Want to see how I can jump? Verse 15, let's just continue. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will help you another helper. He will give you another helper, and he may abide with you forever. Do you see the conversation? So it's about somebody who was going to be with us when you said you were going. We want to be with you. Wherever you go, we'll go. Even if you are dying, I'll die with you. He says, no, you can't die with me. Then he says, I'll give you somebody, right? He will give you another helper. Now, Jesus Christ actually is a helper, or is the helper. But in his absence, there is another one that steps in his stead. Right? So you will not see me physically, but I'm going to ask of the Father to give you somebody in my stead. So the person is literally going to take my stead. Just as you were hungry, I gave you food to eat. You saw the sick being healed. You saw the dead being raised. Right? Whenever you felt helpless, the storms were billowing, you came to me, you woke me up, Jesus. Tell me, stop the storm. It says, peace. So all of those situations, they had experience. You know, the reasons why I believe the disciples were very confident as well was because they felt like in the presence of Jesus, we had everything. They saw the miracles. They saw the power. They saw the glory of God. They actually felt like they were on top of the world. They had the influence. And Peter is like on top. He's top. So he had influence. Before you get to see Jesus, that's another conversation. If you met John as a protocol, that would be easier. But if you met Peter, no, he was not going to allow you. So they almost felt like we're in trouble. That's how they felt. We're in trouble. What will we do now? When we're hungry, who will we talk to? You know, when we have questions, you know they ask Jesus a lot of questions. Who will we ask? Because he was not going to be there. Who are we going to ask? We've lost it. That's how they fail. We've lost it. We do not have anyone. We don't have anyone. Then Jesus says, I will pray the Father. He will send you another in my stead. So the present presence of Jesus is the presence of the Holy Spirit. The present presence of Jesus is the presence of the Holy Spirit. In fact, he's Jesus because he was here in body form. So, we're helpless. Then he says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Then verse 18, I will not leave you orphans. Orphans. You know how an orphan is helpless? Like you don't have anyone. It's like you are left without help. You are left all to yourself. You don't really have anybody to talk to. Oh, he says, I've left you somebody. And he's going to be another of the same kind. He's not of a different kind. Is another of the same kind. The same God, but another of the kind. So this year, you're going to walk in the consciousness of the ever-abiding presence of Jesus. In your life, in your life. Oh no, you can just be very spiritual. In your life. In your life. In your life. Ever abiding. Ever present. Ever present to help. Ever present to help. Ever present to meet needs. Ever present. The Lord ever present. Ever present. Ever present. Ever present. The Lord ever present. And He's meeting needs. He will dissipate all fears. Ever present. Even in the ministry. Ever present to make sure that we have more. Ever present. See something in Acts chapter 13. We're going to take a lot of scriptures. Acts 13, verse 1. I told you that ministry is the Holy Ghost, right? Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. Now, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, right? Now, this is the Holy Ghost saying, right? Can we read together? All right, one, two, go. Okay, so hold on. So now, separate me. Right? The ministry is His. I'm going to show you a lot of scripture. The ministry is His. He is ministry. Is it not? Separate God Most High. No. Now separate me. The Holy Ghost. In fact, He's referred to as God, Lord, in a few verses. But He's saying, now separate me. So it means the ministry is what? The Holy Ghost. Separate me. Right? Verse 2. Let's read again. Verse 2. Everyone, let's read again. Verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which. So, who has called them for the ministry? The Holy Ghost. So, He is the ministry. So, He's saying, separate unto me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work which I, the Holy Ghost, God, has called them. I mean, you're expecting God to say, you know, like the Lord Most High. No, He says, I have called them. Let's continue reading. And prayed and laid hands on them. They sent them away. Verse 4, slowly. So, being sent out by the So, who sends them to?
The Holy Spirit.
Is the Holy Spirit the ministry?
Yes.
So, He's called them to the ministry?
Yes.
He was the one that gave them the ministry?
Yes.
He was the one that led them to where they were supposed to go in the ministry?
Yes.
So, the Holy Ghost is the ministry?
Yes.
Somebody say, ministry is the Holy Ghost.
Ministry is the Holy Ghost.
Yes. That's where we're going to have more.
Glory.
Right? Because He's going to separate us, right? Then He will lead us into places we have to go. And that's why we are not neglecting His help. Do you understand? We're not neglecting His help, right? We're not neglecting His help. Let's see something in Acts 16. Acts 16. We're reading from verse 6 to 10. I'll read verse 4. And then when we get to 6, we'll read to 10. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. Are we increasing in number daily?
Yes.
Great. Can we read verse 6 together? Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit. So, the Holy Spirit, right, was the one that enabled them and gave them what to teach, where to teach, what to do the ministry, and what it had to look like, and where to do the ministry. So, they were going. Then the Holy Ghost says, not here. There instead. I said, ministry is the Holy Ghost. Ministry is the Holy Ghost. So if you're struggled, do not neglect him any longer. Right? Right? Verse 7. And they had come to Mysia. They tried to go to Bithynia. So, the Spirit did not permit them, right? The Holy Spirit gives us the ministry. He gives us where to go, what to do, when to do, how to do. It's all dependent on Him. So to neglect Him is to neglect God's help for us in the ministry. Do you understand what I'm saying? So He wants to take part earnestly in the work that we have on our hands. Right? He wants to. Like I said, there are quite some extremes. We're not going to veer off into those extremes. But there is emphasis on His active involvement in the ministry. Have you ever seen have you ever seen it canonized anywhere in the Bible that Paul was going to wear a dress, the Holy Ghost said he should wear a different dress. Paul was going to, I don't want to say what I was about to say, but you oftentimes get to realize that everything that was relevant to the ministry of Jesus Christ and its fulfillment, he had an active play in it. He was not taking out, he had an active play in it. So this year, we are not neglecting the help of God for us. Are you listening? We're not neglecting the help of God to us. The help of God to us. Now let's go back to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts 1:8, can we read together? But ye shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So, what's the source of power? The Holy Spirit. What's the source of witnessing? The Holy Spirit. Because it's when He comes upon you that He gives you the power to be a witness. So your evangelisms are going to take more shape. Your follow-up is going to take more shape as you learn to not neglect His presence in your life. Are you listening?
Yes.
As He being part and parcel of the ministry that He has given to you. We saw that, right? Separate unto me, Paul and Barnabas, for the ministry that I have given them. The ministry that I have given them. There were certain, prophets, and there were certain prophets in Antioch, right? Then He is the one that actually gives them the ministry. Then He tells them where to go as well. Do you understand that? So this year, you're not going to neglect the Holy Ghost. You're not going to neglect the Holy Ghost. You're not going to neglect the Holy Ghost. You're not going to neglect the help of God for you. Let's go to Acts chapter 4, verse 31. I'm going to show you, on a very surface level, some very important things that we should see. Amen. Acts 4:31. I advise you to be quick so that we can read quickly. 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they was assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. It means, who supplies boldness?
The Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost, right? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. He's the one that gave us the ministry. He's the one that teaches us how to do the ministry or where to do it. He's the one that makes us and empowers us to be witnesses of the ministry He has given us. He's also the one that empowers and fills us with boldness to do the ministry. Acts 6 verse 3. Please, you guys, when you come here, your phone should be on silent. Acts 6 verse 3. Can we read together? Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So, you know, actually, this was when there was a confusion between the Hebrews and the Hellenists. And they were saying that the widows were neglected in the daily work that they had to do, or the daily input. So, the Hebrews felt like widows were not treated well. The Hellenists also feel like, nah, you're also not treating us well. So, there arose like sort of like a conflict, right? Then the disciples wanted to give themselves continually to prayer. But you see, they give out a curriculum. They said, choose men who are of good report. Of good report means that when we ask of Glory from Andre should say, wow, Glory is really a good lady, right? Good reputation. Oh, how about, Glory is very wonderful. Oh, okay. Oh, Glory, we don't even know what to do to Glory. Ah, she's very, right? So of good reputation, right? Then he says, full of the Holy Spirit, right?
Yes.
And what?
Wisdom.
It means that, you know, the presence, the active presence of the Holy Spirit, right, helps us also with character flaws. Do you see that? Because if they were full of the Holy Spirit, that's actually how come they would know much more to have good reputation. It's like they know much more of Him, then they can actually sort of like portray Him well. So they know more of Him, then they portray Him well. So that's how come we have them having good reports about her, them having good reports about her, them having good reports about her, because they were full of the Holy Ghost. So if you see that sometimes you tell lies and you do all those things, it means that there is a part of your life that's not full of the Holy Ghost. Because when you get full of the Holy Ghost, we're going to have good reputation. You're going to have a good reputation. It means that in this year, if there was anything that you had a character flaw with, you were sort of like struggling with, you know, you had to stop something, you had to put an end to something, I tell you, it's in the Holy Ghost, right? Honest reports, good reputations. Then they said they were full of the Holy Ghost. So you see, we actually struggle when we neglect this help that's been given us. And that's why I said your year is going to be the best of all. It's going to be the beginning of something really great in the year. Yes. Because you will keep having adventures in the year. And that's what will bet for more. It's like your walk with God is going to be more exciting than it usually will be. Because you will not neglect the Holy Ghost. You will not neglect the Holy Ghost. You will not neglect the gift of God to you. Yes, so Acts 10:38. Even Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. And he went around doing good and healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil. He says, for God was with him. The Holy Ghost was with him. Can we all read Acts 10:38? For God was with him. For God was with him. This year you have more good works.
Amen.
Things that they call good. You know, the Bible calls something good. We shouldn't call it other than what it calls good, right? The good that Jesus went about that was doing, he called them healing the sick and all who were oppressed of the devil. Then, the writer of Acts tells us that for God was with him. God was with you. God will be with you.
Amen.
God will continually be with you.
Amen.
In this year, for more, I'm telling you, we're introducing this concept of being conscious of his ever-abiding help. There's God with us. 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 Acts 13:52. Now, the reason why we stay on Acts is because we see demonstrations of the Holy Spirit in Acts. There's no other book that throws more light on demonstration than the book of Acts. Acts 13:52. Can we read together? One, two, go. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Now, actually, the word there is kai. It means joy, which is the Holy Ghost. So it means this year, there'll be nothing very, you know, slow about you. Like when we see your face is down. You'll be full of joy. Because you will not neglect the Holy Ghost. You will not neglect the Holy Ghost. So there's going to be joy all month long. All month long. All month long. All month long.
All month long.
All month long.
All month long.
Yes, there's going to be joy. 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 Actually, this was when Paul and Barnabas were expelled from that region. Right? They shook off their feet. In fact, they were maltreated. They shook up their feet. And when the disciples heard it together with them of the testimonies that they gave, they were filled with joy, which is the Holy Ghost. It means that in persecutions, in trials, in tough times, in difficult situations, in situations that almost look like we're stuck, we don't know where we're going, we're going to be full of the Holy Ghost. We're going to be full of the Holy Ghost. We're going to be full of the Holy Ghost. We are not neglecting the gift of the Holy Ghost this year. Yes, we're not neglecting the gift of the Holy Spirit. We're not going to be neglecting him. 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 Full of the Holy Spirit. Full of joy. You know, there are times where you feel like, should I really do this? Let me tell you. In these times, neglect not the Holy Ghost and his words to you. Neglect not. Neglect not. Neglect not. Neglect not. This gift of God, neglect him not. So we're going to be full of joy. Full of joy. Acts 20:28. Can we read together? If we're there, want to go? Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. So the people are his. The people that gather are his. Then, you know, the writer of Acts is telling us, take heed. It means I'm telling you also, take heed to discipleship and to the flock that the Holy Ghost has set over you. He has made you overseer of. Take heed. Take heed. Take heed. Take heed. It means that you're going to be very conscious about the work of the ministry. Conscious about the work of the ministry. Right? Conscious about the work of the ministry. The people are his. They are his. It's his ministry. Do you realize that even the gifts are his? They call them the gifts of the Holy Ghost. They are his. In fact, everything to its entirety concerning ministry and concerning all that God is doing on the earth today is him. It's him. You can't exempt him out of it. You can't exempt him out of it. The seeing and knowing you are anticipating to flow in is his. The gifts of healing, they are his. All the gifts, miracles, whatever it has to be, they are his. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. Even the temperaments that are God-like, they are his. They are called the fruits of the Holy Spirit. They are his. The temperaments, the meekness, the kindness, the patience, the long-suffering, all of them are his. It almost seems like God has entrenched his whole totality of his activity in the earth, in the Holy Ghost. And that's why we're not neglecting him this year. We're not neglecting him this year. We're going to know more about him. We're going to spend more time getting to know him. We're going to be led by him. He's the one that actually makes the ministry easy. Yes. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. So in Acts 20:28, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers of. Has made you overseers of. Has made you overseers of. Romans 5:5. Romans 5:5. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by
the Holy Spirit.
So the love of God is in the Holy Ghost. Right? It's in the Holy Ghost. He's the one that sheds it abroad. They say, I'm struggling to walk in love. I'm struggling. It's probably because you're neglecting his real essence in your life. But not again. Right? Not again. Romans 15:13. Romans 15:13. Romans 15:13. Can we read together? Now, may the God of hope fill you with all what? Joy and what?
Peace
and what? Believing that ye may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So he has all of these ingredients in him. He has joy. He has peace. He has the ability to produce abounding hope. It's like there's a futuristic determination of what lies ahead of us in Christ. Then he says, in the Holy Ghost. Second Corinthians. Okay, let's go. 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6, 19. First Corinthians 6:19. Want to go? Who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Hold on. Even we are not our own. He owns us. Right? Continue. For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's, which is the Holy Ghost's. That's why you can't be at disadvantage this year. Right? You have the Holy Ghost. So we're not going to neglect. Going to be almost like helpless. All of these things are in him. Do you see that? Yes. 2 Corinthians 6:6. 6. 2 Corinthians 6:6. 6. Okay, so let's start reading from verse 3. We'll read till I tell you to stop. Verse 3, go. We give no offense in anything that our ministry may not be blamed. But in all things, we commend ourselves as ministers of God in much patience, tribulation, in needs, in distresses, in strifes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by the by evil report and good report, as the sea is and yet true, as unknown and yet we are known, as thine and behold we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing all things. Hold on. Okay. Our heart is right with us. We are not restricted by us, but we are restricted by our own affections. Now in return, for the same, I speak. You also be open. Okay, hold on. So, you know, the reasons why Paul gives a testimony of all of these things was basically because he was filled in the Holy Spirit. Right? Basically. How do we know he was filled in the Holy Spirit? It's because he gives us a testimony of how that he spoke in tongues more than they all. That's how he's filled with the Holy Spirit. That's how you know that he is full of the Holy Spirit. So this year, you're going to not be thrown away into persecutions, trials, temptations, turmoil. Right? But you're going to trust God and not neglect this gift giving you. Titus 3 verse 5. Titus 3 verse 5. Titus 3 verse 5. Titus 3 verse 5. Once we are there, can we read? Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. All right? So the Holy Spirit is that Spirit responsible for regeneration and renewing of believers. Right? Yes, He is the one that does that work of regeneration. You know, when a man believes in Jesus, the simple concept of regeneration is that God's Spirit comes to dwell in his spirit. So every man has a spirit. God's Spirit comes to dwell in his spirit and then recreates his spirit into exactly what he is like. Right? That's what it actually means to be born of God, is that you have God's Spirit indwelling or habiting in your spirit. Do you see that? So the spirit of a man, when he believes the gospel, God's Spirit comes to dwell in his spirit, right? And then makes his spirit a new man. And that's how come Ezekiel 37, you know, makes us understand how that, you know, he gives a prophecy of how that God is going to give us new hearts, right? It's that process of regeneration of the spirit that creates that newness in us. So the Holy Spirit is the one that does this. Did you see that? So we're not going to neglect him. Right? Let's go to Jude 20. Jude 20. Jude is just before Revelation. The last book before Revelation. Can we read our last scripture? But ye, beloved, building yourselves on your most holy
faith.
Are you going to be full of faith?
Yes.
You're going to be full of faith?
Yes.
How are you going to do that? On your most holy faith, you're going to be praying in the Holy Ghost. I know faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and all of that. But there's also a place of the Holy Spirit in helping you with faith when you speak in tongues. It's true. So you're going to be building yourself in your most holy faith. This you do by praying in the Holy Ghost. And he's actively involved. He's actively involved. So, in this year, we've just gotten into the year. The Lord told me to tell you to neglect not the gift of God. Right? Neglect not the gift of God. Neglect not the gift of God. Neglect not the gift of the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you. This evening, we're moving out, being conscious of your ever-abiding presence, being conscious of your ever-abiding spirit. We're not without help concerning anything. We'll start building relationships with you. But we have come to see that ministry is the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost. Ministry is the Holy Ghost. And our ministries are blossoming. They're blossoming. Everything that seems inactive, it's active in Jesus' name. From this evening, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. The precious Spirit, we thank you for your ever-abiding presence in our midst. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. We will have this phrase on our lips how God hath anointed me with the Holy Ghost and with power. And our testimony is that we're going to be doing good. We're going to be doing good. We're going to be doing good. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for all that you're accomplishing in our lives, in our ministry, in our businesses, in the things that we have our hands on. Thank you, God, for your Spirit that leads and guides and instructs and teaches. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Next week, I'm going to be dealing with believers and the Holy Ghost. Today, I just touched on neglect not the Holy Ghost. So we're going to be dealing with believers and the Holy Ghost, depending on whether there's going to be room for us to do so. If not, I might have to shift it online so we can have it there. Did that help someone? Okay, so we're going to be conscious of this, right? Be conscious of it. Be conscious of it. He's going to be talking to you. He's going to be leading you. Again, I'm going to, clearly create out some balance when I teach you on believers and the Holy Ghost, because sometimes people can become very spooky. And that's the balance we're going to add to that, so that you don't become spooky. Because there's a tendency to become very spooky. So I'm going to place some balance on that. I was speaking to somebody, and then I was trying to tell the person, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do this. And then it was quite an interesting conversation. Okay, that's fine. I'm not sure if you know. All right, so our time is up. And then I'm hoping that we all get to maximize whatever it is that's been taught this evening. Okay? It's going to help your prayer life. It's going to help your word study life. He's helping everything about you. So you're going to be very, conscious of the fact that you have his help. Right? He's going to oil your prayer life. And it's going to be more easy. But you need to learn to work with him, right? And that's what I'm hoping that we'll be able to look at, in a few days' time, how we can work with him and walk with him. And then experience, his full-fledged activity in our life. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you for understanding, for the spirit of revelation. Starting, we not neglecting the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We ask that we'll be able to fully practice this. And Lord, we are sure about seeing fruits that abound in unexplainable measures. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.